Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So tonight is the final budget presentation for consideration for adoption. I'm just going to spin here a little bit. So again, reviewing our budget development process that began all the way back in November, December. We adopted our budget calendar for the 25 budget season. We had key milestones along the way, distribution of per student allocations in to buildings in December, meetings with department heads December and January, initial state aid revenue outlined by the governor in January, tax cap calculation, discussion, and submission was in February. Our first draft was in March, second draft was last week, and our adoption is tonight at our second meeting. And then the budget hearing and vote will be held in May. Some budget challenges that we've had along the way. Expiration of the pandemic grants of $4.8 million. Tax levy limit, the erosion of the district's buying power continues with inflation, well in excess of the stated 2% tax cap before adjustments. Just 1% on the levy only generates a little over $680,000 in additional revenue. State aid uncertainty, the governor made the executive budget available, and as a result, the 24 state aid revenues are currently budgeted at $63.7 million, which includes an anticipated loss of about $647,000. Now, there is rumors out there that there is a budget agreement between the governor and the Assembly and Senate leaders. There's no specific reference. No specific reference was made to the CPI, but the top line number of $1.3 billion in school aid suggests that the number the governor is referring to is slightly higher than the 2.4% she proposed in January, but not at the current law levels of 4.1%. And that's referring, if you remember, to the Foundation Aid formula using CPI. The rumored number continues to be around 2.8%, which is still going to be lower than what we anticipated of that $647,000. Contractual obligations, total general fund payroll for 2024 is $75.8 million. Employee benefits, total employee benefits for 24 equal $32.7 million, which includes 8.6 or 8.7 in retirement system payments. Special education, including out-of-district placements and related services, increases, and transportation contractual increases. Our initial budget gap back in March was a little over $9 million, and at that time we talked about the three control levers that we have afforded to us to fill that gap are the use of reserves, our tax levy, and then additional reductions to expenditures. So I wanted to first take a look, our initial look our revenue adjustments, which totals almost $5.5 million. That holds the tax levy, which is at $1.3 million. I'll go through the formula in a moment. Erie County sales tax at $1 million, interest income at $600,000, Medicaid reimbursements at $600,000, and then New York state aid we're looking at right now of about $890,000. Looking a little deeper into the tax levy, this is the formula that we follow to identify the tax levy. So we start with our current tax levy of $68.6 million. We multiply that by the tax-based growth factor, which is provided by the Office of the State Comptroller, to get to $68.9 million. We then add in the pilots, the payment in lieu of taxes, for 24. That's $156,000. Then we back out any capital tax levy exclusion for 24. So that's $2.7 million to get a new total of $66.3 million. We then multiply that by the allowable levied growth factor of 2% to increase to $67.6 million. And then we back out the pilots for the 25 school year, and that's $178,000. And then the tax levy limit is set before any adjustments are made at $67.5 million. And then we add in our exclusions, which is the capital tax levy exclusion for 25, and that's at $2.5 million. And then the ERS and TRS exclusions of $22,000. That sets the levy at $69,966,619 for an increase of $1,335,437, or a 1.95% increase. The impact of the capital tax exclusion declining on timing of borrowing versus building aid is now at 1.95% versus where we were at $273,823 lower. Last year's tax levy increase was 2.48%. Taking a look at the history since 2018, we've had an average growth rate on the levy of 2.17%. And again, this year we're looking at 1.95% increase. Looking at our initial use of our restricted reserves, again, going back to the initial look from the initial plan, looking at the initial deficit of $9 million, applying the appropriated reserves of workman's comp of $1 million, unemployment of $129,000, $1 million from employee benefits, and $1.9 million from ERS and TRS, to total $4,010,786 to apply towards that initial gap. To bring that gap down to a little over $5 million. So we go back to the initial gap was $9 million. It was down then to a little over $5 million. And again, we identified the initial use of restricted reserves of a little over $4 million, and then the tax levy at $1.3 million. Looking a little deeper in our reserves and utilization of those, if you look at our current year, our appropriated 2024. Tonight on the board agenda, you have the appropriation of the $2.5 million from our capital improvement reserve. That's going to go towards what the public voted on back in December for our roofs. So that is going to get released and out of the reserve to begin to apply towards that work, along with the bus reserve that was utilized for this past year. So the appropriated restricted, excluding bus and capital, utilized was $2.2 million. So that brought down, again, estimated restricted reserve at year end of $19.8 million. And that's a 13.37% percentage of our restricted reserves towards our total budget. Then if you look at what our proposed appropriation is for the 24-25 school year, again, going down to the bottom of that column, looking at appropriating $4.8 million, and I'll get into the additional from what we just saw, a little over $4 million. That will then bring our reserves down, estimated to $14.9 million, or 9.56% of our use of restricted reserves towards our total budget. Looking at that historically and graphically, back in 2018, we were at $14.1 million in our restricted reserves. We creeped all the way up to $23.2 million in 23, and we are right now projected to come back down to $14.9 million in our restricted reserves.
Dr. Hurdy?
Yep.
How much do we have in reserves today?
If you go back to here, 19.7 is the projected amount as of today.
And that's
without the...
Without applying the...
It's up, without capital and without the bus repair. So if you add the 19 and then the 2.2 above it.
Mm-hmm. And then next year, after this budget's complete, we'll be back down to 14.
Correct.
Where we were in 2002.
That's correct.
Dr. Raby, is there a minimum that has to be kept in the reserves?
No. The ideal, which I'll go to this slide now from last week. So this is data from 2022. These are all districts in Western New York. Not named, but all districts in Western New York, their average percent of reserve towards total budget is 22%. The ideal number you want to be at is between 20 and 25. What we're looking at for 24-25 is using, or is having only 9.6% of using, using that 4.8 million. Back in 2022, you were at 15.48%. So last week there was some discussion about the fiscal stress monitoring system and the relation to the reserves. So the fiscal stress monitoring system is something that the New York State Office of the State Controller's office does, monitoring not just school districts but municipalities as well. And the program is set up to objectively identify issues with budgetary solvency, the ability to generate enough revenue to meet your expenditures for each school district. And these are the critical areas: fund balance, operating deficit, cash position, short-term cash and flow debt, and then fixed cost. So why do these things matter? Fund balance indicates the entity's ability to cover revenue shortfalls and expenditure overruns. Operating deficit shows the results of recent financial operations. Did the entity have enough revenue to meet expenditures in the budget year? Can reveal structural imbalance in the budget. Cash position reveals whether an entity has enough cash on hand to pay its bills. Short-term cash flow debt, borrowing to pay for normal operating costs, is generally not a fiscally prudent practice. And then fixed cost, there is less flexibility in these expenditure categories, making it difficult to adjust when resources decline. Contractual obligations, healthcare, and such. So the underlying indicators are measured on a 100-point scale. Designations are made for scores falling within certain range. So they do the sum of the financial indicators that I just reviewed. They identify a fiscal score and then a designation is given. So for a significant fiscal stress, you're between 65 and 100. Moderate is between 45 to 64.9. Susceptible is 25 to 44.9. And then no designation is between 0 to 24.9. So the system acts as an early warning and provides valuable information to school leaders and Board of Education members so that they are well equipped to take deliberate, long-term, and strategic approach to managing their school district. This information helps decision makers and the public to prioritize the needs of the school community, understand the trade-offs, and follow through with tough decisions. So historically, looking at West Seneca, going all the way back to 2013, you can see that your reserves were at $5.7 million at that point in time. You had a stress score of 73.3, and you were designated as significant stress. And that continued through 2015. Then you started to increase your reserves. You bumped that up to $7 million that year. Your score dropped to 35, and then for the next 2 years, 16 and 17, you were in susceptible stress with those reserves. Reserves continue to increase over that time since 2018. Your fiscal stress score dropped and you went to a no designation. Now, if you go back to where I showed you where we're projecting reserves to be for at the end of 2025, you're back to 14.9 million, which gets you back up in the range of between 17 and 18.
No stress.
Again, last week I showed you this graphic showing the total budget gap and the two areas other than the tax levy that you can fluctuate between reserves and reductions.
Yep, I'm sorry.
You will
have a time to address when the public comment is open.
And I assure you, we'll sit here and listen quietly.
Thank you.
So this graphic I shared last week showing the total budget gap of $9 million, and other than taking the tax levy out of it, but looking at the reserves and reductions and showing the different options that can fluctuate back and forth from the use of reserves of $4 million, reductions around $5 million, the middle box, looking at reserves, and if we get an increase in state aid, offsetting that, offsetting the reductions of $4.3 million, or using more reserves, about $5 million, and less reductions down to $4 million. And the yellow arrow is kind of indicating that, that lever in between, fluctuating between those options. Then, as we finished up the final budget development process, we identified three other areas that provided significant increases in expenditures. One is the transportation bids were received on March 28th, replacing a five-year contract that expires June 30th of 24. Includes 28 buses. It does generate 70% in aid in 26, but that increase was about 51% or over $1 million. Out-of-district tuition and special ed, we have an increase there of $441,000. And then employee benefits around healthcare. A final report in April shows that this increase is going to be around $400,000. So what we did right off the bat was apply additional revenue or additional reserves towards this, these increases. So we applied additional assigned reserves, a little over $1 million, and in retirement, a little over $800,000 to make up that 1.8, almost 1.9 million. So adding the restricted and unrestricted reserves together, we're looking at using 6.3, almost $6.4 million along with the levy. And now we move on to the next lever that we have afforded to us when we get into budgeting. So initially, when we put together the initial budget first round, we shared with you the reductions that we already made within the budget. Some significant reductions were equipment, contracted service contracts, supplies and materials, repair of equipment, and some others. Overall, reductions totaled almost 1.2 million, but was significantly offset by the increases primarily in transportation and the out-of-district tuition increases. So a little more about out-of-district tuition. Back in 2018, our out-of-district tuition was at 2.8 million, almost 2.9, and we're looking at somewhere around 5 million in 24. Charter schools is another factor. We're seeing an increase there. 2018, we had 78 students in charter schools. We're just under $1 million. In 24, we're up to 110 students for about 1.4 million. So initial reductions and changes, again, to balance the budget. We already talked about those initial reductions from that first draft, and most of that was absorbed due to the out-of-district tuition and transportation costs. So now we're reduced to having to make reductions in salary and benefit and retirement breakage across all areas, totals 47.5 FTEs, which would generate $4,481,476. In addition, we still have to utilize some reserves or hope for an increase in foundation aid to offset that, to close that gap of a little over $5 million. When we look at these reductions, we first consider our enrollment, historical enrollment. Again, over the last 10 years, we've lost about 794 students. Looking forward 10 years, projecting out, looking at the best estimate, we are anticipating another decrease of 753 students. And then that brings us to our staffing, starting with elementary class sizes with proposed reductions. Currently, all your class sizes K through 5 at the elementary level are within your board guidelines. With the reductions, 2 at kindergarten, 1 at first grade, 3 at second grade, 2 at third grade, 3 at fourth, and 1 at fifth, for a total of 12. You would still be within your guidelines other than second grade, which would be at the low end of 21, of that guideline of 21 to 25 in second grade. Looking at current positions in this current school year, 23-24, that are supported by the PRISA and ARF grant, So we had 8.88 positions in AIS and learning labs, 15 FTEs in elementary, one in English, one in English as a second language, 5.98 in remedial reading, 9.91 in special ed, 1.51 in, as a social worker, 0.84 occupational therapist, one in speech, three tech integrators, six computer support assistants, one micro decision support specialist, and one community relations coordinator, for a total of 56.11 FTEs in those grants in this current year. What's going to be continued for the 24-25 budget plan are 5.3 FTEs in AIS, 5 in elementary, 1 English as a second language, 5.98 remedial reading, 9.91 in special ed, 1.51 in social worker, 0.84 in occupational therapist, 1 in speech, 2 computer support assistants, 1 micro decision support specialist, for a total of 33.54 FTEs still continued on in our current budget. On the certified side, in total, in the elementary, we're looking at a reduction of 8, 4 in English, 4 in math, 1 in social studies, 2 teaching assistants, for a total of 19 reductions. Points of interest. 2 elementary positions are being absorbed to lower the 6th grade class sizes at West Middle. Reductions in the areas of English, math, and social studies are a result of technology integrators returning to the classroom, the constriction of 7th and 8th grade teams, and the reduction of learning labs, which were grant funded. The balance of 11.5 FTEs are vacated positions going unfilled.
I got to stop there for a second.
Yep.
How is it possible to eliminate 2 elementary positions and still lower class sizes at West Middle?
No, you're adding 2. You're adding 2 positions at 6th grade.
Are being absorbed into the lower.
Okay. The two positions that were being reduced are being absorbed into West Middle.
That's what I thought, but I thought I would.
Nope.
Wrong.
You're right. On the classified side, we're looking at a reduction of 9 in buildings and grounds, 2 in print shop, 4 in technology, for a total of 15. Point of interest, 1 position from the print shop will be transferred to the curriculum office, and then after applying vacancies and transfers, the total number of reductions to staff will be approximately 9. Other areas that will continue from 2024 to 2025 were the support for special education, a total of 21 FTEs. We reviewed this last week. Director of Elementary Education and Special Ed, Transition Specialist, Diagnostic Team Psych, Diagnostic Team Speech Pathologist, Social Worker, Psych Intern, Special Education Teacher at Elementary Programs, 4. And then 2 at the middle school, physical therapist, and then 8 special education teacher aides. And what's important, and if you remember from Mrs. Fowler's presentation, I think it was back in March, she shared with you this chart showing the impact of that new structure, right? So if you look at 21-22, you had, for that year, you had 112 identified students, classified students, and then last year you had 100. And right now we're only at 34, and we only have 2.5 months left of school. So it is having a significant impact in the identification process and supporting our students in other ways. Go ahead.
You're coming out of 2021-22, you're coming out of COVID year one.
Right.
And you had, out of 132 students, that were sent to committee with 112 kids,
correct,
that were in need of
support.
I mean, down the road, this is going to be a larger conversation on this budget, but it'd be nice to know how many of those kids have been declassified going forward.
We can get that information.
And, you know, one of the things that we really need to look down the road to is building greater capacity to take care of our students here in West Seneca, not sending them out to agencies, because that is decimating this budget.
Correct.
Right now, and it's not serving our kids the way that our own teachers could.
Correct.
We bring them back. So we need to look at that too, and I'll have more to say about that later.
Yep, I agree with you. So looking at the final budget of $156,020,575. We've eliminated that shortfall with those additional reductions of $4,481,476, coupled with the tax levy and the use of restricted and unrestricted reserves. So looking at the budget plan, this shows an overall increase in general fund payroll of 4.11%, and an increase in benefits of 5.84%, for a total increase in general fund payroll benefits of 4.63%. Looking at the budget in more detail, there's a decrease in administration and general support of a little over $800,000, increase in instruction of $4.2 million, increase in transportation of $1.3 million, benefits an increase of $1.9 million, debt service increase of $1.6 million, total general fund budget of $8.2 million, back out the vehicle reserve purchases of $223,000, for a total of 7.9, almost $8 million increase in the expenditure side. Looking at that graphically, 58% comes from instructional, 5% transportation, 22% benefits, 5% debt service, and 10% administration and general support. On the revenue side, we have an increase in state aid of about $1.9 million, in sales tax and other charges, $102,000 appropriated fund balance, 2.6 increase in use of reserves, $1.2 million in miscellaneous revenue, $1.3 million in the tax levy, and then a total increase of $8.2 million in the budget. Looking at that graphically, 45% comes from levy, 42% from state aid, 6% from sales tax, 1% from appropriated fund balance, 3% from use of reserves, and then 3% from miscellaneous revenue. Three-part budget, administration is down 0.91%, program is up 6.43%, capital is up a little over 6%, total budget increase is 5.5%, dollar amount $8.2 million. Looking at the estimated tax rate, considering no change in assessments, the full value increase is 24 cents per thousand, the equalization rate of 26% in West Seneca increases that to 92 cents per thousand. Some things that influence the levy rate in the bill: if expenditures are down, the levy rate and bill can come down. If expenditures are increased, the levy rate and bill have to come up to cover those deficits. If revenues are up, in other words, we get more state aid, we can then bring the levy rate and bill down. If the revenues are down or stable, the levy rate and bill need to come up. With regard to assessments, if assessments are up, there's really no impact on the levy, the dollar amount. If we need $66 million, we still need that dollar amount. But the rate of the bill come down because there's more value spread amongst the taxpayers. If assessments are down, there's less value, still need the dollar amount, but the rate in the bill would go up. Looking at actual tax bills, we use three different scenarios here. The $52,000 scenario is the average assessed value across West Seneca. With the equalization rate, that brings it up to $200,000. So the tax bill would be set at $2,519.32, or an increase of $48.09. A home assessed at $100,000 with the equalization rate brings it up to $384,615. The bill would be set at $4,844.85, for an increase in the tax bill of $92.47. And then a home assessed at $250,000 with the equalization rate is $961,538. The bill would be set at $12,112.12, for an increase in the tax bill of $231.18. Onto the bus reserves, in May 2002, and again in 11 and 21, the voters reestablished a fund to purchase buses. Excess funds have been placed in this reserve for future purchases of school buses and equipment. This reserve fund allows the district to make bus or equipment purchases that do not affect the amount of the current budget proposal or the levy. The district also receives state aid for bus purchases in the subsequent years, and this aid continues to support the bus replacement program. This year's bus purchasing would be Proposition 2 of $759,892. There would be 430 student capacity buses and 265 student capacity buses. You can see historically how we've received aid over that period of time. 5 years' worth of purchases is $3.3 million, and we've received aid of almost $2.3 million. Capital outlay, there's another capital outlay project embedded in this budget. These are $100,000 small projects that we can do throughout the district. This started back in 2016-17. Capital outlay projects and opportunity institute capital improvement projects that cost no more than $100,000 and preferably covered under one trade. District must show this expenditure in its annual budget plan, and then we'll receive aid in the following 8 years. A district may receive aid for a maximum of one such project in an 8 year. And as the district completes these projects on an annual basis, the aid begins to cover 80% of each project. So taking a look at this over a 10-year period of time, the district can do $1 million worth of work for the cost of $280,000, because you get $720,000 back on aid. This capital outlay project is to complete the West Elementary Auxiliary Gymnasium upgrades, including the completion of ceiling, lighting, and acoustics in this space. The two propositions up for consideration on budget day, the proposed budget of $156,020,575, an increase of 5.5%. Dollar amount is $8.2 million. The levy set at $69,966,619. The levy increase would be $1.3 million with a percent increase of 1.95%. The second proposition, which is what I just mentioned, is the 430 passenger buses along with the 265 passenger budgets, buses. Contingency budget, if the budget is unsuccessful, the district can't raise the tax levy at all. Therefore, we have to reduce the budget even further of that $1.3 million. So we would reduce additional staffing of $756,002, including administration and programming. Training, travel, equipment, except state-aided hardware and safety equipment, would decrease by $479,435. We would remove that capital layout project in addition. And under a contingency budget, there would be no community use of our facilities without full reimbursement of expenses. Next steps is in May. We have our public hearing Tuesday, May 7th at 6 o'clock. The budget vote is Tuesday, May 21st from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. at East Senior High School Gymnasium. There will be three Board of Education seats up. The first and second highest vote getters will get the two seats, the three-year terms, and then the third highest vote getter would get the remaining two-year term of a recently resigned board member. Voter eligibility must be a citizen of the United States, must be 18 years of age, must be a resident of the school district for a period of 30 days immediately prior to the vote. Any questions from board members?
Any questions, Dr. Lee?
I
just need
to go back to my slide, Dr. Lee.
Okay. I can ask a basic question. Sure. And again, I was very careful how I worded some of this. I know we're looking at adopting the budget, and if it's adopted, that's like the maximum money we can spend next year.
Correct.
So the two questions I have is this year, the max amount of money we can spend. We can't go over that. Normally, sometimes there's a surplus. Are we looking at hitting that mark? The way the prices have increased on things that we weren't. Is that what you're referring to? Our current costs this year are higher than what we expected also? Or
yes.
So are we looking at a surplus this current budget?
As of right now.
So is it, just to get pure simplest term, if we hit it, the amount of money we budgeted from last year, we just have such.
Correct.
Okay.
Or you have to make a budget adjustment to go over that amount of money.
Okay. So that being said, again, not naming anything, but like on this agenda here, we may accept a resignation. That position is now open. Does that mean one less spot filled, or do people with seniority have, like, if someone resigns today, that's not part of what we're planning. Do we have one less person that is laid off, or do we absorb that position?
It depends what area it is.
Depends on the area. Right.
So if a person was being impacted by a layoff, they would have rights to any open position, right?
Okay, that's kind of what my question was.
If it's within the same title.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I found my question. In the slide that talks about restricted reserve history,
yep.
So we're projected in 2025 to have $14,918,000 in our reserves, correct? correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
14 net, yep.
So then when I look at the West Seneca Central School District, our you know, fiscal stress scores, that chart there,
yep.
That number falls between no designation and susceptible stress, correct?
Correct.
Beyond 2025, are we projecting lower reserves?
That remains to be seen. Right now, we're out to 25, and then those are projected for the next few years, depending on the condition of the state aid that we receive.
The difference in state aid seems insignificant to the major. The thing that we're facing is that we have rising costs all around us, and we have no control of the special ed situation. Really, we have very little control over that. We have mandated, we're maintaining those mandated AIS systems. Boy, I hope that our RPI programs are tight, and that we continue to service kids at a tier one or tier two, because when they get to tier three and get to special ed, the dollar amount and the resources that are being used there are just growing astronomically. And like I said before, I feel like it's decimating a lot. Every kid deserves everything that they need, and I'm certainly not stating that, but keeping a model, which brings me to class sizes, because I cringe at the fact that class sizes in elementary are rising the way that they are. And I really, really hope, you know, we don't see the high school class sizes here. We talk about middle school, we talk about reducing the class sizes there and investing in that. It's hard to accept that there's kindergarten, first grade, and primary class sizes that are larger than high school class sizes.
And I think that needs to be a focus of the board next year for secondary.
Because all we're doing is we're going to make the lift greater for those kids that are learning to read and becoming literate and capable. And if we don't take care of them then, they're going to end up in AIS, and they're going to end up in needing more resources. So if we don't invest at that early age, then we're doomed to invest later down the road. So that is probably the most difficult thing to accept moving forward. And frankly, I wish I would have done a better job last year as a board member, because we sat at that table, I was in that spot, March 7th, and predicted where we were headed, and said that every position needed to be scrutinized. And I don't feel like the job was done last year, because I believe that had we done a little bit better job last year and tapering back, we wouldn't be in this spot today. So I'll own that. I should have done a better job in that spot last year.
Thank you. I also want to share that if anyone would like to go back and watch that meeting, I believe it's March 7th, 2022, I too asked the question, how will we absorb all these new positions? And there was concern from the board, and it was explained to administration that we were very concerned about all the new positions and the gap that we were going to face this year.
And I would like to be clear, I'm not blaming anybody other than myself for not being more adamant about it.
Same, but, you know, we are volunteers.
Okay, so anyone else?
I want to point out, though, sure. The positions that have been added in the last few 3 years, we are maintaining several positions. So
yeah.
Our staffing for elementary is better than we were 3 years ago, even though it's, you know, 23 to 24 is different.
I agree with that, Laura, but I also hear,
I also hear
people say that, oh, when I was in school, I had 30, you know, I had 30 kids. The students at this age right now that we're seeing, you know this very well,
yes.
That we're seeing coming
in post-COVID, their needs are frustrating, right? And we recognize that. So we're in this dilemma of how far do we kick this can down the road financially, and what type of situation are we going to place ourselves in next year or the year following if we have to take a jab step right now in order to move forward. I believe that. And I just wish that wasn't the case.
Thank you for sharing.
I do have another question. So if not for situations like this, what are the reserves used for? When is a situation that would come up that we would need to utilize that money unplanned for?
Other than situations like this?
When we're facing budget cuts and staff
reductions. Yeah, so what you want to do is be able to utilize your reserves for any unexpected spikes in expenditures. For instance, I think it was 2018 when the district established the retirement reserves, ERS and ZRS. For years, all districts had ERS reserves. We were allowed to have those reserves, but there was never a teacher retirement reserve. So that was something new that districts were afforded. And that allowed us to plan, it allowed us to smooth out those unexpected increases from the state and the retirement system and not impact directly the budget. So you'll see that we're using a significant amount of that, of both those reserves in this proposal to smooth out that as much as we possibly can. We can on the expenditure side of that. Capital reserve, I think that's pretty straightforward. You have that reserve set up to offset the taxpayer commitment to doing your capital improvements. So you get state aid on your capital improvements, and then you identify what your taxpayer obligation would be. We try to use that reserve to smooth that out or to eliminate it altogether. There are districts that have, if you're a self-funded healthcare school district, there is an opportunity to have a healthcare reserve for that self-funded. There are only about 8 in the state. My former district was one of them that established that reserve. And that does the same thing. When you have unexpected spikes in healthcare costs, you can use that reserve to smooth that out. It doesn't directly impact the increase in the budget, thus having to make those reductions.
Do you use reserves to offer retirement son?
Yeah, so that's the employee benefit liability reserve. So that's where you'll see the other benefit reserve utilized at your FLI reserve. That offsets that. So if
without that, we can't go there.
Right. So when you have employees retire, any benefits that they were afforded as a result of the retirement, you can utilize that reserve for that, so it doesn't directly hit the budget.
So if we had a crop of teachers or whatever that were in that striking range, it would make sense for us to incentivize them to get that breakage, put us in a better place?
Correct. I think you'll be there in about 2 to 3 years.
I look forward to that.
Well, so I don't think my question is going to help the situation at all, but we didn't have an unexpected teacher retirement thing happening, but we're still using money from the teacher retirement fund. Am I not understanding?
No, so the employee retirement system, right, and the TRS, the teacher retirement system, that's to pay the bill to the state to cover retirements for teachers once they do retire.
Okay.
The employee liability reserve is for once teachers retire from your district, any obligations that you have based on contracts, you can utilize that reserve to offset.
Okay.
Thank you. Next
question. I do have one more question. I just want to be this clear, especially for our friends in the media who like to get things correct. Did you say 20.5 positions? Is that where we're at?
Tell me where you're looking at.
Just the reductions.
So the total FTEs is 47.5, but it's across all areas. Okay? All areas. I know it's been reported that it's all on the teaching side, and that's not the case. So it's 19 reductions, 19, it would be 19 layoffs in, on the teacher side, the certified side, and then another 11.5 are being absorbed through resignations or retirements. So those are through attrition, right? And then on the classified side, it's 15.
Okay, I'm sorry, that's where that number comes in.
And then there's some other non-union positions. That total, at 47.5.
Okay, good, thank you.
Yep.
So in theory, it could be, it's 14 if the other end of the resignation.
Could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
So
more resignations, more retirements that happen between now and
So there's still room to work something.
Developmentally inappropriate testing practices, unfunded mandates, and have consistently advocated for our fair share of funding. I also led the charge to get our kids back into our beloved schools with their beloved teachers during COVID, which is how I ended up running for the Board of Ed. Educators and all school personnel have adapted to constant changes in leadership, curriculum, standards, requirements, policies, and the growing needs of the children who enter our schools. The only thing constant in public education is the fight to do what is right for our children. Those who truly value public education are always fighting. It's exhausting, no matter which role you play in this institution. I was compelled to write this statement because of the board members who surround me. This is a group of genuinely good people who care deeply about the institution of public education and value the West Seneca Central School District. As I look around this table, not only do I see a group who value public education, but a group of educators and parents. As parents, one thing is constant for us too, the fight. The fight to ensure our children understand and relate to our collective values. The fight to ensure our children receive the quality, comprehensive public education we deserve. I wanted to take a moment to thank my fellow board members. No one understands the time we spent, which was our choice to serve our kids and our community. I wanted to publicly thank you because no one understands how lonely and time-consuming this volunteer fight can be, except for you and our families. I'm honored to sit with you, and I'm grateful. In case you are unaware, I wanted to remind the public of the collective board goals. They center around student growth and achievement, fiscal responsibility, school and community engagement, facilities management, and equity. Please understand that every decision which is brought before this board is seen through the lens of these goals. How do we make the best decision, often in difficult circumstances, to do what's best for our students? Sometimes the factors which force decisions are not ideal or are often out of our control. We listen to the West Seneca administrative team for their expertise and advice. The Board of Ed ultimately turns to a decision-making matrix of how do we make the best decision for kids in unideal situations but still try to maintain the heart of our goals, which is where our board finds ourselves tonight. We are preparing for the increased costs of funding our school district. We are faced with difficult decisions which loom in our minds and keep us up at night. Federal funding for COVID recovery allowed us to hire more teachers and non-certified staff. And this current budget has absorbed and retained 74 more teachers and 118 non-certified staff post-pandemic, even though our COVID funding is gone. So please understand that this board truly cares. However, I need to publicly state how incredibly saddened I am to hear all three bargaining units stand at our last board meeting and highlight how they have not had a seat at the table, especially when cuts are on the table. Listening to everyone, creating space for genuine dialogue in hopes of finding solutions is critical in building a long-term vision for our district. I also need to say that over the last 3 years, the message from admin when creating new positions has been we will be able to absorb these positions into the budget. So I understand why people were caught by surprise. My hope moving forward is that our next superintendent will ensure a collaborative budget process. Even if all don't agree, decisions will be respected because everyone has a chance to share their perspective and be heard. We have seen bleak times, but we've made it through. Our district needs to be able to have a big picture perspective and remain solution driven with transparency at all levels. We chose to raise our families in this beautiful first ring suburb of West Seneca. We chose to raise our families here because of our shared community values. Those values have to be represented in our decisions. I urge everyone in attendance and those watching tonight, please try to see our district circumstances through a different lens. Try to understand the role we all play in reaching our district's full potential. Try to empathize, with tough decisions, which will hopefully see us through difficult times, with the goal of building a better district in the future. I urge everyone to come out in May and vote. There have been many missed opportunities in our district due to lack of voter attendance. Whether you agree with my sentiments or not, please cast your vote on May 21st. Kids are coming.
We're about to convene into the public comment period of our meeting, and I just wanted to make a little statement. Although state law does not require us to hold a public comment period, we have chosen to do so because we believe it is crucial for us to hear from our community members about their concerns and issues. Having said that, please know that the board is here to listen. The public comment period is not designed to be a discussion. Accordingly, please do not expect the board to respond to your questions and concerns tonight. If you want to be contacted, please leave your information with proper staff on the register. The board will now entertain public comments for 30 minutes, with each speaker given 3 minutes. When called, please step up to the podium and state your name and address. Please be respectful in your comments and do not divulge any personal.
My name is Jacob Knox. I live at 121 Harlem Road. Good evening, members of the board, parents, fellow students, and staff of the West Seneca community. I'm a junior at West Seneca West Senior High School. I'm an honor roll student, and I'm very involved in activities around the community and my school. This past Friday, I was a participant in a walkout for the staff of our district in support of their jobs. During this walkout, many of my fellow classmates had made homemade signs to express their opinions on the situation. One sign stood out to me, which said, "Save our staff, save our future." When it says save our future, it's describing our education that comes from the staff. Students tend to develop from being around staff, and they change us for the better. So if they're affected by the layoff, so are we. Myself and about 475 plus students in West Senior, not including other schools in the district, were out in the rain and wind for our staff on Friday. The question I have for the board is, what does 47.5 mean to you? If I was to bring a test or report card home with a 47.5, I'd be grounded. Sorry. 47.5 staff gone is called failing this district. The number 47.5 isn't just a number for me and my classmates. It's a number for the 47.5 role models, mentors, motivators, and advisors that will lose their job as a result of your actions. The description of role models, mentors, motivators, and advisors have come from fellow classmates who have concerns for their staff as well. On a personal standpoint, these staff members are the sole reason I was able to get through half of high school. Also, I benefited greatly from the small class sizes. I was able to get more one-on-one teacher attention. Teachers can provide more individual attention to students that need extra help. I appreciate each one of our staff for everything they've done. I feel that they don't deserve what's happening. This 47.5 isn't a number that we can count. This number 47.5 represents hardworking individuals that work diligently to provide for their own families. I cannot speak for the staff, but while going through my day in high school, I can see how committed and grateful our staff is to be in this district. Us as a community need to start focusing on the future and not just the present. As I will be graduating next year, I want the reassurance that future students will be able to experience the incredible experience that I got from the hardworking staff in West Seneca. So I ask this, please reconsider and find another way to close the deficit so that our teachers and staff members don't have to lose their careers. Thank you.
My name is Ali Alfaki and I live at 59 Gabrielle Drive. Hello, and thank you for allowing me to speak tonight on an issue that is impacting the West Seneca District. I'm a freshman at West Seneca East Senior High School. There are so many influential and amazing educators in West Seneca that students will not be able to learn from because of these proposed budget cuts. Instead, our clubs and activities will be cut limited to staff. We will also have less one-on-one time with teachers as classes will potentially be very large. What bothers me is teachers are losing their jobs over something that is not in their control. It is late in the year and teachers who thought that they had a steady job that they love now have to scramble to find work, hopefully in another district teaching, but some will end up working as and onto different career paths or other jobs to try and make ends meet. This is not what they are meant to be doing. They are meant to teach and inspire students to be the very best versions of themselves. You are cheating us as students and them as mentors. It's not right. West Seneca used to be a district that I was proud to be a part of. Now I just see a bunch of people that don't care about me or my fellow classmates or the teachers we care for and respect. Here are my questions I have to ask. Will the staffing cuts affect class sizes? Will there be cuts to the already limited amount of electives? Why is the district cutting staff when there is a fund balance that the school board claimed last week stating that there is $23 million worth in savings? Will the building and grounds be properly taken care of with all of the staff cuts that have already happened? Since the weather in Western New York is unpredictable, will the ground still be safe when there's inclement weather, such as plowing and shoveling the sidewalks? And here's my last one. Why is staff being cut when schools do not know what teachers they will need to staff their classes next year? Thank you.
Good evening, members of the school board. My name is Brian King, 168 Briarwood Drive, West Seneca. Good evening. As I stated, my name is Brian King. I'm the first vice president of the CSEA 6716. I'm here to tell you that there is still time to resolve these issues and ask you to, the school board, to vote no on this proposed budget. We have begged you to have the highest paid members of this district go back to the drawing board. We have offered to help them to go back to the drawing board. We have offered to meet with you, meet with the administration, and at this point, we would meet with anyone who would listen. There is still time. Please vote no. We told the administration if they were going to move forward in telling our members that if they were being laid off, demoted, or forced out of their jobs, that it be done right. The time would be taken to make sure civil service law, especially the laws covering additional seniority for wartime military veterans, be investigated, double and triple checked. We ask that they be 100% certain in the seniority list prior to these layoff meetings being held. We ask that every I be dotted and every T be crossed. Our members weren't even given that. We had members thinking their jobs were gone when they weren't. We had members thinking their jobs were safe when they weren't. So we are reminding you that there is still time. Please vote no. The entirety of this process is an unbelievably challenge for the employees of our district. But can you imagine spending several days thinking you were out of a job when you weren't? Can you imagine being told not to worry about your job, that your job was safe, and then having the rug pulled out from under you? Can you imagine coming back to work in a place where not one manager of your department stood up for you or said that the administration this time has gone too far, that the cutbacks in the grounds department, the computer department, and the print shop are too much for the remaining employees to maintain even pre-pandemic workloads? Let's move on to the fact that if 70% of our building and grounds department now works afternoon and evening shifts with no head custodians in the buildings in the evenings, shouldn't the leadership of the Buildings and Grounds Department consider moving to an evening schedule so the staff have the support that they need? Lastly, we asked Monday morning for the list of the 132 non-instructional positions that Dr. Raby mentioned in his budget update. We are still waiting to see that list. I'm a long-standing resident of West Seneca. I'm an alumni of West Seneca East class of 1983, parent of a 2019 graduate from West Seneca West, and a dedicated employee of this district for over 20 years. The West Seneca School District community is angry. The taxpayers, the faculty, staff, students are angrier than I've ever seen them. More importantly, from the superintendent to upper level management, including the Board of Education, you've lost their trust, and that's worse. I'm asking you to vote no on this proposed budget. There is still time. You can do better. More importantly, you need to do better. Please, you need to vote no. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ann Houck, and I teach sixth grade at West Middle. I also proudly serve as the president of the West Seneca Teachers Association. I stand before you tonight amidst the most difficult conditions that I've had to work through in my 27-year career here at West Seneca. Over the past week, I've attended meetings with 19 of the best educators in Western New York as they were being informed that they were no longer going to be employed with the West Seneca Central School District. I've comforted members in tears, heard stories of life events postponed, and empathized with members who are the single source of income and health insurance for their families. Unfortunately, I was unable to convey to them that the district has done everything they could do to stave off layoffs. The ever-changing deficit numbers and conflicting explanations to substantiate these deficits leave us unable to support the budget being proposed tonight. 1 week ago tonight, the budget gap was reported at $9 million. By Friday's weekly brief, that figure had changed to $10.8 million. These layoffs are the result of a budget process that has silenced stakeholders and not offered opportunities for those who most closely interact with the students of West Seneca to offer their input regarding potential cuts. The community, staff, students, and teachers, in various ways, have implored you not to adopt this budget. So I ask, how many expressions of support for this budget has the board received? To the members of the Board of Education, we hope that you will listen to the people in this community who voted for your position on the board. Most of you ran on a platform that prioritized transparency. However, this budget process has lacked just that. Your vote tonight should not be a personal vote. It should be representative of the community you speak for, the people that have called and emailed you, and the people that have stood before you expressing their opinions. Those voices are not in favor of these cuts. Vote no today and send this budget back to be revised. There is still time for reconsideration. The public hearing for this budget is 3 weeks from today. Task the school district to go back and create a budget that includes input from the stakeholders involved and reflects what the community is asking for and has demonstrated they are looking for. A no vote on this budget tonight is a vote for more time to consider other budget options. Thank you.
Guy Zagara, 651 Indian Church. Congratulations on finding our new superintendent. Hopefully she has a backbone, because she will need it. One thing we know for sure is, come July, she will look to you for everything. Not all superintendents are the same. Some are the cock of the walk types, like Whitney Van Tine was, confident, in charge, first day on the job. Some are really nice guys, like Matt Bystrak. And there are worse things in the world than having a really nice guy as your superintendent. I thought it said confidential. That's okay. And then some are a cross between the two, like Dr. Raby. But all of them take their cue from you. You show them loyalty, they learn loyalty. You show them it's about the kids, it'll be about the kids. You show them some other kind of game, then that's the game they'll play. This district is a three-piece suit. You have the kids represented by their parents, you have the employees and their unions, and you have the taxpayers. This past December, you did something strange. You put the propositions up in December. These propositions directly affected the kids, and they were alone in their fight with no lifeline. Those kind of votes are usually held in May, when the budget and the board seats are up for a vote, and the proposals always pass. They didn't in December. You let the kids down. They fought their fight alone against the taxpayers. So the upgrades to our playgrounds and auditoriums, they went down in flames. And because of that, you lost a lot of respect among the parents. But you can get it back. Don't you dare make our children run alone again like you did in December. You don't run alone. You get as much support as you can. You tell all your family and friends to come vote for you. You get union support. You say, come vote in the budget, vote yes in the propositions. Three-piece suit. All of them deserve their due. Come a day, you're gonna have to decide whether it's about you or it's about the kids. To be continued. Thank you.
Joe Guadagno, lifetime area resident. I was a student in West Seneca. My children graduated from West Seneca. My grandchildren attend West Seneca. I'll make it short and sweet. First of all, it's totally unacceptable to raise the classroom size of children at elementary school. That's penny wise and pound foolish. Okay? Secondly, 8 people on grounds you're going to get rid of? Ridiculous. Unacceptable. I urge you to reject this and vote no and redo this. There is plenty of time, and according to the state, we have more money. So please vote this no, rework it, and come up with something better. Thank you very much.
Hi, thank you for the last minute squeeze. Your presentation did bring a couple of questions. I'm Patty Shea. I live at 1107 Seneca Creek. My son goes to West. My mother-in-law taught in the West Seneca Central School Districts for 30 years. We have always been very passionate about the commitment that's been given to our kids until now. I am going to pose a few questions. I understand that they won't be answered now, but I'm hopeful that the public will continue to question them as I do. And I question these with pure honesty that I am naive to some of the situations, which I think, in fairness, some of our parents do feel the same way. We believe what's being told, and if we are confused, we have to ask. So my questions really do come down to the funding cuts. Is it true, and I'm posing this for hopefully a response back, but that positions that were put in the cut were actually positions that have been here for possibly 3, 2, or a year longer than pre-pandemic, and that 2 months ago, these positions were asked to sign a statement that their position was a pandemic statement or a position? So to clarify, how were these specific roles chosen, and were they truly determined pandemic positions at the time of hire? Did I clarify? Okay, so that is a question that I do have. The other question that I have is really wondering, when was the last time the state did a financial audit? I don't know if that was included when we were on the watch list or not, but I would like to understand if we were, if anybody knows.
Somebody will get that answer.
All right, that would be great. And then the last one is really coming down to the choice in district selection. Actually, two questions. The choice in district selection. What months does that bar graph represent? And although they're not named, there's 96 districts in the area. Why were the ones chosen? What led to those? And I think the last thing would be, is there a state cap on the amount of reserve that should be in there? And those are things that I don't know, and I ask my fellow peer parents and community members to, if you don't know either, maybe that's something that should be clarified a little bit more. I'm going to conclude it with, these kids are still struggling post-pandemic. There is no way that positions should be cut. Changes should be made, especially in the area of anything with special education. These teachers are working really hard to help keep us ahead or catch us up. If we do cuts, the cuts are only going to cost us more money in the next round. It's impossible to consider the fact. The reason why we stayed in West Seneca is because of the changes that have been made. Otherwise, we would go to a private school which has a containable classroom size, more attention given to the special needs. We're not, we're trying to stay here because we believe that the board, you, will do the right thing and challenge Dr. Raby to come back to the table with something better. Until all options are exhausted, there is no way you should, in good conscience, support what somebody is bringing to the table. You have not exhausted your options.
Thank you,
Patty. Thank you.
$2.5 million going to the capital reserve,
yeah,
plus an additional.
Which one are we working with?
So you're working between the use of the restricted and unrestricted reserves and the reduction. So it's in between one and two at this point in time. And again, it's
$3.5 million deficit this year. $2.5 million of that is the capital reserve transfer.
Okay, so
three.
Can you say that again? Well, I'm sorry.
$3.5 million total deficit projected. That includes $2.5 million transferred to the capital fund. So $1 million from operations, 2.5 for funding the roof project.
Okay, did everybody get that?
Thank you, Will. All right, so
I think it's just I
had to kind of collect my thoughts, because when you see all of these slides, it's a lot. And, you know, I'm an elementary school math teacher, or I'm an elementary school teacher. I do teach math too, but it's a lot. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar budget, and it's a lot. So my perspective on the budget, I have to like explain it in my terms. So the narrative that West Seneca's finances are in good standing, that's true. In October, we approved the 2023 audit report. The third-party auditor deemed our finances in the best category to be in from an audit standpoint, with a clean opinion on the financial statements. West Seneca has brought in more revenue than we have in expenditures in the last 5 years. Due to this budget surplus, we have increased our fund balance, or our savings account, from $25 million in 2019 to $33 million in 2023, an increase in $8 million. The largest increase in our fund balance was in the last 2 years, when we received one-time payments of restoration and foundation aid and federal pandemic relief grant money. In the last 2 years, we have seen our fund balance grow by $6.7 million. Those one-time influxes of money are not expected in the next 5 years. So while our finances and savings accounts are healthy and good, the business office is projecting a $9 million deficit for the 2025 budget. So, without these reductions in expenditures, we would be using over $9 million from our reserves. Using large portions of our reserves to fund the general budget can only last a few years, not even, before we are in a real crisis and we need to borrow money. If our projected deficit is not as bad as Mr. Thiel is planning for, especially with the ever-changing climate of the public school budget process, then I'm confident our new superintendent will be able to reevaluate and reallocate funds and positions to best meet the needs of the students of West Seneca. In speaking with Laura and others, we'd like to insist on the creation of a budget committee for next year to ensure all stakeholders have a seat at the table and are kept abreast of budget developments with opportunities to present ideas and solutions and making sure our values are aligned to the final budget. I'm glad that our district is in sound financial standing with a healthy reserve fund right now. But if the projected increases in expenses and decrease in revenues are close to the current projections, it's important to maintain, as best we can, a continued healthy financial standing and reserve fund, which is part of our responsibility in long term. So that's my interpretation.
I'd like to speak to that, to the reserves specifically. In 2018, we had a grand total of $14.1 million in reserves. Next year we'll be at $14.9 million in reserves. The spending power of $14 million in 2018 is far different than what it is in 2025. I really wish my 403B looked like it did in 2018 compared to what it looks like in 2025. I really wish my bills looked like they did in 2018, and they do not. Inflationary costs, everything that's rising, is not going away. Not in a year. That's why I think it's important to have a healthy fund balance, because in 2 to 3 years, when we have the opportunity to get some breakage and possibly offer an incentive, we'll be well positioned. I agree with what Mr. Erskine said last week. There is not a crisis.
what was a crisis when this district was borrowing money from the city of Buffalo to meet payroll. That was a crisis. I'm not going to be part of that. So as difficult as it is for me to look at this budget, look at these layoffs, know the people, know that they're my neighbors, and people that I care about are part of that. My job is here to as a trustee, is to see this district for the long haul. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I just want to, I really would implore current board members, again, possibly the six of us, anywhere from four of us, the six of us plus the new person, or depending on how things go, I really need to say this, and I'm not taking shots at anyone, but the thing that I need to know is we can sit down with Dr. Kruger, form some sort of budget advisory committee. I know I beat this like a dead horse. I was asked to be part of, before I got involved in this, the 21st Century Committee, and we weren't there to redistrict. We were there to find ways to save the district money before we got into the issues 10 years ago. Because we didn't follow suit necessarily with, you know, the things just weren't, I guess the committee wasn't going the way people wanted it, the committee was shut down. I can tell you there's things that I've heard from boots on the ground, probably half the people in this room, that we need to do this, we could save money by doing this. That was a great committee. I would love to, I need to sit down and form that type of a committee. I don't think we need a budget committee like you hear like New Hampshire has or one of those places where they choose, but I think we need some sort of advisory committee where we get the people that know where the money's being wasted
on the grounds. Excuse me.
I apologize. I would love to get something like that going come July 1st and really support it with board. I know advisory, I know decisions are made, but I really think 10 years ago, there was 10 plus months worth of work, and there was ideas that could have been carried forward. And I know this is working for the future, but I can't let that go, and I won't be interested in even being involved anymore if we don't do something like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I agree. I think the problem that plagues this district for the past 10 years has been a lack of a long-term strategic plan, which consists of a vision, a true vision of what the district could be and should be. Now, I joined this board with the objective of setting real goals, bringing back real accountability, helping develop a long-term strategic and sustainable plan. Not open a building, close a building, move a class here, move offices there. And the first step in finding was finding a leader. Finding a leader that's going to get us there. We did that last night. The next thing is making sure that we have sustainability in this district for the years to come. Survive what is an economic situation that is all districts looking at how do you work for one. I'm seeing what's happening to my own building as a result of these cuts. But there's no other answer at this point. So.
All right, we're done with the discussion? All right, thank you, everybody. All right, we are ready to vote on agenda item 8A. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 6-0.
Very sad.
We have to continue with our agenda. 8B. All right, may I have a motion to accept 8B? 8A, please.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Oh, yeah.
All right, may, is there any discussion on 8B? 8K? All right, thank you. Seeing none. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to talk about? We have to talk about quite a lot. Is there anything else you could talk about?
Thank you. All right, then I need a motion to adjourn unless there is interest in going back into executive session. Would anyone like to make a motion to go back into executive?
I'd like to make a motion to go back into executive.
Okay, for contract negotiations?
Yes.
Okay. All right, or employment history in particular, individual. Okay, so can you say that?
For the contract negotiations?
No, for the employment history.
The employment history in particular.
Okay, so does anyone second? Sarah?
I'll second.
Okay, Laura? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're going back to executive and we will not resume public voting. Thank you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.